Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth
has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples
of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father,
and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them
to obey everything I have commanded you.
And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age."
Welcome to Exploring Missions, connecting mission needs with those equipped by God to meet those needs across the world or across town. And now, the host of Exploring Missions, Bert Harper.
It is always good to be with you on the weekends. And when we talk about missions, weekends are an important part of that. Church is always involved, but you may be taking somebody to church with you. That's a good mission effort. You may be working with children, and that's a good mission effort. You may be in your neighborhood. I know some churches that do prayer walks and prayer ministries during this period of time. So be always on mission for God. Again, this is Bert Harper along with Nathan Harper. And Nathan, when we talk about missions, that's just who the church is. If a church is not missional, they're really not a church, are they?
That's right. Yeah, the church is the sent out people of God. We are sent out on mission with Jesus in his work in the world, his global redemptive mission. God has a mission in the world. He calls his people to join him in that. That is what the church in part is, are the sent out workers into the world, spreading the good news of Jesus.
And when you're spread out into the world, whether it's national or international, I've heard of some great things happening on what we call, in our terms these days, short-term mission trips. They're valuable assets to the church, also to the place you're going, and usually you're working with missionaries that are already there, and it's an encouragement to them. Short-term mission trips are really a valuable asset in 2025.
200 years ago, it did not make sense for someone to go in a short period of time to a place. It would take that period of time just to travel there. Have you ever been on a trip, maybe a road trip, where it took longer to get there than you stayed? And you're like, is this worth it?
Yeah.
200 years ago, it wouldn't have been necessarily worth it. People went to stay. Long-term career life mission was the expectation. But now, because of modern travel conveniences, if you will, or just ability, it makes it more feasible to take a short-term mission trip. And there are lots of pros and cons to a short-term mission trip. But when done well and as best as possible, there are more benefits. And we could list some of those. But one of those, if we were to make a list, one of the benefits, one of the pros, one of the good things coming out of a short-term mission trip would be you get exposed, the participants in the mission trip are exposed to global needs. You see the world in a new perspective, and you understand that maybe how I live my life and how I operate in my life and my circumstances around me, maybe most people in the world don't operate in the same way. And some of that is because there are needs that I have met in my life, but others in their lives are not being met. We're talking about basic necessities of living. And when you see poverty firsthand and experience that, and you notice things that are crucial for life, for a well-being, and those are not in place in a certain location or in people's lives, your eyes are open to that, and it changes you, and it gives you a different perspective. For a lot of people, they want to do something about that and try to meet that need.
You know, when I was a kid, that's a long time ago now, Nathan, a song came out. I forgot exactly, but I know one of the lines. How do you tell a thirsty man about the living water of God's word? You got to give them something to drink. And one of the global needs around the world in many, many locations is water.
Yeah, just clean, healthy, accessible drinking water. Water to drink, water to use and cook with. And it might surprise many of us to know how hard that is to come by in some places. For me and you, we just turn on the tap and you know, we have multiple options. You can drink out of the kitchen. You can drink out of the refrigerator in your kitchen. You could drink out
of the... If you can get your head under there close enough.
You can drink out of the water bottles that you keep in the refrigerator in your kitchen. And we have just going to the store and choosing what bottled water do you want. You know, that's kind of ridiculous if you think about all the options and brands and styles and types. Don't get spring water.
Yeah. Size, too.
You know, do you want spring water? Do you want distilled water? Do you want all these other kinds of waters that are, I'll call it frou-frou water, yeah. that's too expensive and I don't want to get.
Yeah.
But, you know, in some places, there's no option. You walk miles, and it's usually women who will walk many miles there and back to a well to provide water for their families.
That reminds me of John chapter 4.
Yeah. Where a woman who walked to the well. Yeah.
And guess who was waiting on them there? Jesus was there.
That's
wasn't
right.
He? So in short-term mission trips, water, and I've been there where there was a community water spot where people would come. It really has those benefits. And on a short-term mission trip, we can find that. Matter of fact, the interview, Nathan, that we're going to hear took place on a short-term mission trip. And the greatest need he saw was water.
Yeah.
So short-term mission trips, how valuable that is, isn't it?
Yeah. You brought up John 4. So in John 4, Jesus took his disciples through Samaria, says he must go through Samaria. And I'm sure they were reluctant to go, but he took them. And you could make a case that this was a short-term mission trip that Jesus was taking.
It sure was a detour.
Yeah. And so they ended up at a well. And the Samaritan woman came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" And what a way to start a conversation. And it centered around access to water.
I want you to enjoy this interview because you're going to hear about someone that was touched by the needs of others on a short-term mission trip. Today on Exploring Missions, we have two guests with a ministry that really would be considered new. You know, we talk about church planting and starting new churches, but many times it's new ministries that start. And we want to talk about this. Now, it's been around a decade or more, but it's still comparatively new to a lot of the ministries that we know about and that we get to interview from time to time. And it's the Bucket Ministry. And with us today is Christopher Beth and Matt Arnett. And they're working with Bucket Ministry. And Chris, I understand you're the founder, brother. Go ahead and tell us that story.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you so much for just allowing us to unpack a few stories. I spent most of my life as a business consultant and really had no intention, no desire at any point to be involved in ministry, to make mission trips. It just was not even on my radar, Bert. And in 2012, my daughter came home from high school, and she had mentioned that she wanted to go on a mission trip to the Brazilian Amazon. So my wife and I quickly looked at each other.
By herself? Like,
yeah. And, well, she was going to go with the school group.
Yeah.
But we quickly looked at each other, and we thought, well, she'd been to South Texas before, but I'm not quite sure Brazil is an option we're comfortable with. So we did a little bit of reverse psychology. At that point, we told her, okay, if you pay for the trip, if you raise all the money for the trip, then you can go. And if I'm being really transparent, I thought for sure there's no way she's going to raise $3,500. But 2 or 3 weeks later, she had all the money raised for this trip. So my wife and I then are at this point where we have to decide what's next. So we mutually decide that one of us is going to have to go with her. I drew that straw. But Bert, I want to tell you, the only reason I went on that trip is to bring my kid home. I went on that trip to be her dad. And my only marching orders were bring her back to Texas. I had started a relationship with Jesus 3 or 4 years prior. Wasn't even fully sure of my own relationship with Christ at that point. So we start to prepare for this trip, and we end up in Manaus, Brazil. We board an open-air riverboat, and we go 18 hours into the Amazon basin. Most uncomfortable trip of my life. Not only the 1,000,000% humidity, but there was 14 other people on the boat that were speaking a language I didn't understand. They were talking about being the hands and feet of Jesus. They were talking about serving the least of these, and I really didn't even understand what that meant, so I felt like an outsider. So in the first couple days, I was assigned to do home visits in these villages along the Amazon. And on the third day, the trip leader assigned me to that same thing. And I was supposed to go visit a home across the river, which I did. And I got into the home, and this little Brazilian woman looks at me, and I'm just this giant, sweaty American. And she says, "Are you thirsty?" And I thought to myself, my gosh, I'm thirsty. It's hot here and I need some water. And I look around her home and I'm looking for a refrigerator or a water cooler, and there isn't anything. And I never considered that people did not have the same water that I had access to in the United States. I never even thought about it. It wasn't even on my radar, Bert. I didn't even know that there was a world water crisis. So this woman goes in her kitchen in this little hut in the Brazilian Amazon, and she takes two cups out. They're mismatched and cracked. And she walks outside into this little dock area, walks to the side of the river, and dips two cups of water out of the Amazon River. And I'm standing in the doorway thinking, what is this crazy woman doing? There is no way that I am going to drink that. And sure enough, she comes and hands one cup to me, one cup to my interpreter. So there's these points in life where you have to make a very quick decision that are going to affect your outcome.
Right.
On one hand, if I don't drink it, she's going to think I'm rude because I just told her how thirsty I was. On the other hand, if I drink it, I'm going to spend the rest of the trip in the bathroom.
Right.
So as I'm pondering this decision, the gravity of that day sets in on me, and I realize, number one, this is the only water they have to drink. Number two, they think this is normal. With all the things we have going on in the world with all the technology, how is it even possible that people only have access to drink from a river? So I have this experience, and I'm holding this glass of dirty water, and I decide I can't drink it. But at the same time that I'm realizing I can't drink it, I heard two words. And I will tell you, prior to this trip, if I ever heard somebody say to me, hey, I got a word from the Lord, or God told me to do this, I was always skeptical.
Right.
And my thought was, so really, he's going to stop what he's doing and give you instruction? But on this day, I clearly heard the Lord say, help them. But that help them did not come with any instruction. No Cliff Notes manual. I didn't know if help them meant give them $50 out of my wallet or give them a hug. So I left there that day with a burden. And we got back to the United States and started researching the world water crisis. And that home in the Amazon in 2012 is where I like to say that God breathed life into the bucket ministry. And then that day in 2012 is where he showed me why he had created me.
Amen. What a story, Chris. When I hear the word burden, I just want to share with you a biblical model of that. In the Old Testament, with all the prophets, many of them got a word, some of them got a vision. But a few, it says, the burden of the Lord. So burdens are a biblical model of God's calling for you. What a calling that was, Chris. I'm just, first time I heard it, but when I heard that word, I could not help but remember that. That's what God does, and I appreciate that so much. Well, give us a little bit. Don't want to leave Matt out of this, Chris. Introduce Matt to us and when he came on board and what's going on with Matt.
Absolutely. Well, Matt is Pastor Matt Arnett, and Matt is our staff pastor. We feel that we want to keep the main thing in what we do. And while the water is important and delivering clean, safe drinking water to people is very important, the most important thing is the gospel. Mm. And we use the water as a door opener to establish relationships, to be able to preach the gospel and then disciple those that come to believe. And Pastor Matt guides all of our spiritual field work, and he works with all of our pastors in the field and shepherds them. In addition to shepherding our small U.S. team here, we want to keep the most important thing the most important thing, and that's Matt's job, and it is not a small job at all. So that is Pastor Matt Arnett.
Well, when you put the word pastor on there, I want to tell you, I pastored for 40-something years and still do on kind of a side besides this. Listen, nobody knows what all goes into that caring, discipling, ministering. Matt, thank you for being with us today, brother.
Thank you, Bird.
And listen, I know you work with those here in the U.S., but I want to know a little bit, make sure the indigenous ministries that you have there, pastors, lay people, churches, is that where it starts with a local church, or do you find individuals that are interested and able to plant this idea in their mind? How does that work with you?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for that question. And so at our ministry, at the Bucket Ministry, our mission is to share God's love through the gift of clean, safe drinking water. And so we are a holistic mission organization. We believe in not just proclamation of the gospel, but the demonstration of the gospel, and that happens in the communities. And we believe that the primary vehicle that God is bringing restoration and redemption to the world is through the local church. And so everywhere we go, it is our priority and our mandate to find and partner with local like-minded churches that we can, as a parachurch organization, that we can come alongside and we can help to build up without propping up. And so we are looking for partners that are of the same mission, of the same mind, and the same heart. But the unique aspect of what we do through water filters is that we're able to distribute these filters into people's homes and build relationships where maybe a local church might have difficulty getting that access. And so we bring local churches and pastors and missionaries in and alongside with us as we build those relationships and establish discipleship patterns, where we are then, from day one, our goal is to make a handoff back into the local church and the communities where we're serving.
Hearing another word, and I do pick up on words, and it was the word relationship. It's amazing, Chris, I want to make this observation. It was through a relationship that you go to Brazil with your daughter. And now, because of your awakening and God's calling concerning clean water for people, these relationships are being extended to others, and Matt is on the front line of doing that with you. This is how God operates and works. And those of you who are listening, that's the way He'll work in your life. He may say to you, help is needed, help here, it may be, and be ready to hear that. Real quickly, how in the world do you bring clean water to a woman 18 hours down the Amazon? How do you get clean water? How do you do that, Chris?
Well, Bert, great question. We use a small portable water filter manufactured by a company in Tampa, Florida called Sawyer Products, and it is designed from kidney dialysis technology. So it's very, very effective, very long lasting, very durable, but most importantly, it is simple to use. We can teach a 7-year-old or a 70-year-old how to use this filter, and it will last 22 to 25 years. So this small filter that is roughly the size of a cell phone attaches to a standard 5-gallon bucket, and through the gravity of water flowing out of the bucket through a hose and into this filter, the filter traps all the contaminants. Now, Bert, I think you'll love this visual. When we share the gospel with many of our recipients, it generally starts with a bucket of dirty water. And that bucket of dirty water resembles something that I've struggled with in my life, and that is the sin in my life. Because if I keep drinking that water, I'm going to get sick. If I continue drinking it, it's going to kill me. And just like the sin that we encounter in our lives. But that filter is a perfect illustration of what we see Christ doing on that cross for us, how he redeems and restores us and renews us to the Father. And that's what that water filter does when it takes the contaminants and the dirtiness, and we could even say the sin, out of that water. So that's the tool that we use. It's very lightweight, very portable, very usable, very long-lasting. And it is a very, very good tool to allow us to establish relationships in order to earn the right to share the gospel with the recipients.
Chris, after you came back to Texas from Brazil and you had this burden, you had this calling, did you have to do the research to find out about this filter system?
Yes, sir. I was researching a lot of different types of filters, water wells, biosand filters. There's fantastic filters out there, but what we were looking for is something portable, something easy to use and long lasting, and was actually at a camping supply store here in Dallas called REI, and I was in the water filter area looking at filters and stumbled across this Sawyer water filter and bought two of them, brought them home, started researching it, and later tested it, reviewed all the lab results, and found that this is just the perfect tool. And Sawyer is the perfect partner with us in this ministry.
It's honestly, you know, living water, what a intro to the gospel. Matt, that sets it up really easily to expand the gospel from there, doesn't it?
Absolutely, Bert. And it's something that's such an incredible tool because it, first of all, like Chris mentioned, this filter works. It has the power to transform and to change lives physically. And we love that about it. It's sustainable. It's long lasting. But the thing that gets us up in the morning, the thing that gets us incredibly excited is that it opens a door, it softens people's hearts. And I've had the privilege of using a lot of evangelism strategies and tools, but I've never seen something that softens people's hearts for the gospel like this filter. And that goes back to this meeting the needs of the whole person, because the people that are coming think that they're coming because they need water. And all the time, whenever we talk about this, we talk about the woman at the well in John 4 and how she came and she thought she had a need. She thought she had a need for water, and Jesus is able to meet her where she's at, but show her where she needs to be going. And we get the opportunity all over the world to do that. And we do that for those that are receiving the filter. But one of the things that's incredibly amazing too is that we get the opportunity to do this across the United States as well. Whenever we engage with churches, with children's ministry programs, through our Kids Club program, where we are able to show this same illustration of clean water, but use it as a tool to present the gospel and see lives transformed in churches. And these kids who maybe didn't have a full grasp of the gospel, they understood the words, but were able to paint a picture through this imagery that helps move the knowledge from their heads down into their heart and really let God move in their lives. And so we love getting to be a part of that. We love getting to do that. And we're seeing God move in incredible ways.
Amen. I read here that there's three non-negotiables for individuals to receive that filter. Would one of you explain that, what that is? What are the non-negotiables for receiving that filter?
Yeah, so our non-negotiables with partners that we use with the filter, and three of those are that that the gospel is going to be proclaimed, that we are going to collect data and make sure that we're taking care of the entire community, and that we're going to follow up with these families. And so those three non-negotiables are part of our relationship with partners around the world. And then with recipients of the filters, we have two specific things that we ask of the recipients, and that is that they would use the filter, that they would take care of it, and that would be a resource to them. And then the second one is that ties into our other non-negotiable is that they would allow us to come visit them. And so that's the terms and conditions, if you will, on the filter, is that they let us come and visit them and check on their physical health. But this also opens the door for our missionaries to come into their homes, to establish relationships, to pray with them, and to opt to check on their spiritual health as well.
So the missionaries and maybe the indigenous pastors that are there, they're vital in this connection, are they not?
Absolutely. And in fact, most of the time, really maybe all of the time, whenever it's successful, is the local pastors end up being people of peace in the community that help us gain access and build relationships. And then over the long term, what we see is as we get that initial credibility with the community, we then are able to, in turn, open doors for the church to get into the places where maybe they've not had access previously.
So we're looking at missionaries in these very difficult situations having a tool to really make inroads into that community. We know about the person of peace. So if you have one like that, and if it happens to be a local indigenous pastor, that even multiplies the power of the gospel even more, wouldn't it, Chris?
It does. And Bert, we like to use a term that we call neighbors serving neighbors.
Amen.
So all these pastors, all these missionaries are all local people to these campaigns that we're serving in. And just like you've already identified, it gives that local pastor, that local missionary, a great tool to use to open doors. But more importantly, as locals, as neighbors, they can go deeper, they can go further and faster than any outsider ever could. And the filter is what gives them that access point to be able to establish those relationships.
Well, guys, sometimes I get started on one of these interviews and I say, listen, we got to have more information. This is one of those times. Would it be all right to you stick around and us complete this for another program? Would y'all have time?
Absolutely.
Listen, we're talking to Christopher Beth and Matt Arnett, who is with the Bucket Ministry. And they're telling all the things that God is doing through this ministry in sharing the gospel with people around the world, but also here in the United States. If people want to know more about the Bucket Ministry, you have a website?
Yes, sir. It is thebucketministry.org, thebucketministry.org.
Well, guys, I want to thank you for being with us in this program, and we're going to continue this so that we can understand more, because we want to talk about the Kids Club that's been mentioned already and how that works. We want to talk about the countries. We want to talk about also the expanded issue that's coming up in a campaign. So we're going to get that in part two. So you'll want to be sure and mark on your calendar and your clock so you can get part two of the Bucket Ministry and how God is using it. Again, guys, thank you for being with us, and we thank all of you who are listening to being a part of Exploring Missions here on AFR.